Turn with me this morning to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5, beginning with verse number 38. Matthew chapter number 5, beginning with verse 38. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Here we have a very strong passage of Scripture. That we are going to deal with in general, at least today, and we're going to deal with in the principle, the root issue that the Lord is dealing with here. First of all, the Lord is quoting a number of verses, or speaking of a number of verses in the Old Testament. And we want to look at those to begin with. As what does the Old Testament teach? It's not like the Wild West movies that you probably have in your mind, and they are quoting this passage of Scripture, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And by the way, our president quoted this passage of Scripture in a means of telling people why you couldn't believe the Bible. Because of this passage of Scripture, you wouldn't be able to have an army. And therefore, the Bible is totally inapplicable book for people today. Talking about misinterpreting the Bible. Exodus chapter 21 and verse number 24. We will start verse 22. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that a fruit depart from her, and yea, no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished, according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Leviticus chapter number 24. And verse number 17, and he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death, and he that killeth a beast shall make it good, beast for beast. And if a man cause a blemish in his neighbor as he hath done, so it shall be done to him. breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, as he hath caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done to him again. Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 21. Beginning with verse 16. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges, which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be a false witness, and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he hath thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt thou put the evil away from among you. And those which remain shall hear and fear, and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. And thine eye shall not pity, but life shall go for life, and eye for eye, and tooth for tooth, and hand for hand, and foot for foot. The passage that the Lord Jesus is quoting is talking about the judicial system of the nation of Israel. And as you read the Bible, there are many such statements that make it clear that the judicial system was to be based on equity and fairness. In fact, the American judicial system is based on the biblical role. If a man, for instance, would lose his arm in some kind of accident or something like that, that person would go to court and the court would assess the loss of livelihood, the loss of wages, that person would lose as a result of being injured in that accident or whatever, and they would assess that in a monetary amount. And it would be based on the fact that justice is to be equitable. Now, this is not talking about taking justice into your own hands. This is not talking about a posse. This is not talking about taking law into your own hands and dealing with wrongs. These wrongs were to be brought before judges. They were brought before the priests. Evidence was to be given. One of the texts, we did not read the whole passage, it says that it would be established before the mouth of two or three witnesses. It was not hearsay on the part of one person. It was not on basis without evidence. And of course, we have in the New Testament, in Romans chapter number 13, the clear teaching of the New Testament concerning government and the role of government. Romans chapter number 13, where it says verse number 1, the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever, verse 2, resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation or judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he that is this earthly government is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. And so the Bible has, in the New Testament, repeated the need for government, the need for a just judicial system, and the Old Testament Jewish people had such a thing. And of course, in times of apostasy, the judicial system works under the system of bribes and favoritism and all other such things. And we know that that is certainly taking place in America, and the justice system of justice is losing its sense of equity. And how could it not be when the Bible is banned, the very system on which equitable system is judged? And so the Lord is taking this truth, but he's not dealing with it in a in a national manner or a judicial manner. He is dealing with it on a personal manner. We know that is true because in the millennium, the Bible says Jesus will rule with a rod of iron. Evil will not be allowed to prevail. And so here we have a passage of Scripture that is personal. We have a passage of Scripture that is contradictory to a number of sinful practices. This is a passage of Scripture that is contradictory to the spirit of revenge. The spirit to get even. Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. You know, this is a real part of a lot of people's thinking. This idea of revenge. We were studying about John Grenfield, missionary to Congo, and when he got to translate the Bible into the local language of the peoples that he was seeking to win to Christ, he found in their language no word for forgive or forgiveness. And as a revelation of the heart of man, and it's the heart that you and I are born with, is that spirit within us of revenge, of returning evil for evil. And if someone does something back to us, we are going to do something about it. It can be little, it could be big, but we are going to do something about it. And in the context of the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord is unmasking the hypocrisy of religion and revealing the true nature of true Christianity. And there's a tremendous contrast. Here we find the Lord in this passage of Scripture fighting the very spirit that is behind this horrible thing called bitterness. bitterness. What is bitterness? Bitterness is all about responding, reacting to perceived or real evils or injustices done to someone. Most for bitterness, or a lot of bitterness, is against perceived evil. It's not real. It's their interpretation. But the spirit of bitterness is broken by the teaching of our Lord in Matthew chapter 5. Think of what it says again. Resist I have to find my place here. My eyes are a little blurry today. I don't need glasses, though. But I say unto you that you resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Just think about that, young person. You have bitterness against your parents. You have bitterness against someone. And so because you are bitter, you are going to make them pay. You're going to make them pay. In your mind, you perceive they have done something evil. Probably they've gone against your sinful desires. But you perceive they've done something against you. And so now you are going to do whatever comes to your mind. And you're going to make them pay in misery. The Lord. What the Lord says is 1,000% against it. He says, instead of being bitter, he says, turn the cheek. Say, do it again. This is against the spirit of revenge. This is the spirit, and they're all related. Getting even, payback. Romans chapter 12 and verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Romans 12:19. Did I say that right? Dear little beloved, revenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For as written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Now notice the spirit of, young men that are fighters. This is what this is all about. Young men that are fighters. Bible says, smite thee on your cheek, turn to the other. You know what? Any fighters at camp this summer? Yeah. Exactly, right? Can't do one thing to them, can you? Can't do one thing. Boy, I'm ready! You know? I guarantee you, you poke them with a little finger, and boy, and if somebody did that, and they got the spirit of a fire, boy, they probably just decked them. I think last summer some kid got decked. I mean, got knocked out. I mean, man, there's a fighter there. You know what? It's a real thing. Of course, we never do that. You know, we never do that. I mean, a sibling does something to you, and if you're the boy and it's the girl, or it's a boy and a boy, I mean, you're going to do something, right? You're going to let them know who's the boss, right? No way are they getting away with that. I mean, they took my socks and they wore them and they made them smelly. I tell you what's going to happen. I tell you what, their whole baseball card collection is going in the trash. You know, the fact is, most of this pick on one another stuff in our homes amongst the kids has to do with the get even mentality. It's the inability to take a wrong, even a perceived wrong. And it is translated into, I'm resisting evil, right? I'm resisting evil. I'm dealing with it. I'm going to take care of it. It's a spirit of getting even. And really, it is the spirit of unforgiveness. You know, some people just can't forgive. You know, you wonder, now, there's two principles here. One is, we're sinners. And if you don't know it yet, the sinful spirit is a spirit of unforgiveness. But I hope that you understand that that spirit of unforgiveness can be intensified by an atmosphere. It can be intensified by an atmosphere of unforgiveness. You know, some people hold things a long time. A long time. They can't forgive. Now, this is the negative. This is the negative. This is the spirit of our wicked heart. That there's no one here that's exempt from that. And the Lord is hitting us right in the heart. Right where reality is. Unforgiveness. The spirit of selfishness. The spirit of self-centeredness. How many times? Because it doesn't go our way. So we're gonna deal with it. And so the wife says, I'm sleeping on the couch for 3 weeks. Says, you're cooking your meals. Now, he might have needed a you know, the frying pan right over the top of his head. But you know what? The fact is, that's how a lot of people respond to everything. Or the most petty little thing. The most petty little thing. I am going to get even. I'm not going to forgive you. I'm not going to let you by. So the Lord is contradicting this spirit. You know, some cultures are built on revenge. The New Guinea culture of tribalism, of cannibalism, talk to the missionaries. They will tell you their system is built on the system of revenge. Now, if you were, you know anything about Africa, the spirit of tribalism isn't after 150 years of Christianity in Kenya, it's still right there at the top, isn't it? What the Lord is saying here, we find is exemplified in the Lord Jesus. Let's turn to 1 Peter 2. What glory is it, verse 20, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? Well, really thankful when a child does wrong and they take their punishment, their discipline gracefully. Boy, I tell you what, we really rejoice in it. It says, what glory is that? That's just what you're supposed to do. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Now notice the opposite here. Jesus does well. And what does he, and how is he treated, and what is his response? Now, this is a whole nother notch than you and I, because you know what? As well as we do, we are still sinners. As well as we do, we are still sinful. But Christ was sinless, and he did well. And notice his response, verse 21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Guile means harm. And so when they crucified him, he did not respond with harsh words. He did not respond with such words. It says, but when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. But he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Here we find purposeful, positive action that is supposed to be characterized in our life. Purposeful, positive action that was exemplified in Christ, that is supposed to be in our life when someone does something in our life. And of course, the passage does go beyond that. How do we respond? A purposeful action. He committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Of course, we know a positive action. He reviled not. Ha! Let me tell you, I'm going to give you a few words. Oh, again, you know, the Lord Jesus didn't have spirit of revenge, did he? The Lord Jesus purposely went to the cross. A purposeful, positive reaction. Now, as I was thinking about this, there's two principles here. One is the negative. One is, hey, this is not what we're supposed to do in life. We're not to be revengeful. We're not to have a spirit of unforgiveness. We're not have this get even spirit. We're not to hold grudges. We're not to respond to evil with evil. That's a negative. But you know, there's some positives here. There's some positives. He says, you know, if they ask you for a coat, give them also your cloak. Give them more than what they ask. If they compel you to go a mile, go two. It's bad enough to have them compel you to take a mile and to do it patiently. But he says, if they compel you to go 1 mile, go two. Now we're talking about transformation. Now we're not only talking about the absence of evil, but we're talking about positive action in the complete opposite realm. The realm of transformation. How does that work? I was trying to figure out how this worked, how I could explain it. Okay? So, your dad says, go out to the garden. How many have a garden? Praise the Lord. Dad says, go out. If you have kids, you need a garden. Right, kids? If you have kids, you need a garden. If you don't have a garden, then get a camp. That'll work just as well. All right? If you have kids, you need a garden. All right? And you say, go out there and weed that row. All right? And you know, it's hot, it's humid, and there's mosquitoes out there, and you know, all of that, you know. And so, you go out there, and you're supposed to weed a row in a garden. Well, you know what? Your brother only had to weed a half row. Boy, you're mad now. My parents are unfair. I got to weed a whole row. And my little two-year-old brother, he only had to do a half a row. Or whatever. My parents, they're just mean. They're just plain old mean. Make me go out here and weed this garden. I tell you what, I'm going to weed this row. And I tell you what, I'll pull the tops off. You know, that weed is a little hard to pull. I'll just, and it snaps off. Hey, no problem. It's okay. I pulled the weed. And don't you think for a minute I'm going to get those little ones. No way. I'm not going to get the little ones. I'm going to just spite them. Leave them. And you know what? I'm not going to do the weeds in front of the row either. And I'm not going to do the weeds at the end of the row. You know? And if there's no carrots and it's all weeds, I'm not going to do them either. Man, compel thee, go 1 mile, go two. Huge difference between that, what I just described, and going out in the garden and say, you know, it doesn't matter. The rest of the kids are in the house drinking iced tea. I don't care. I want to please God. I'm gonna weed the row. And if the tops come off, and I can, I'm going to get them out by the weeds. I'm going to dig down deeper with my hand. And I'm going to get the little ones. And not only that, I'm going to do another row that I wasn't even asked to do. Because that row's got weeds in it too. How could that happen? How could that happen? Jesus said, if they compel thee to go 1 mile, go two. What is the spirit of the kingdom? This is what he's teaching. He's teaching about the transformation that only comes when we know Jesus Christ as our Savior and are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about God's power working in our life. He's not talking about us in our own weakness, in our own limited human strength. You know, you try to forgive somebody. Just try it. And there's some that, I mean, obviously by looking at you or knowing you, I know you can't forgive. Even as though you might have all the reasons in the world to forgive, and even though your bitterness is perceived and not real, injustices, can't get over. You know why? Because the flesh can't please God. The flesh can't please God. The flesh can't do what's right. The flesh can't do right. It's only the Spirit of God working in our life that would say, I'll gladly do this row, and I'll do the next one too. And I'll do it to the best of my ability. I'll do it for the glory of God. But the fact is, there may need to be a great warfare take place in our life before that happens. There may need to be a great a warfare in our life in which we finally humble ourselves before God and admit our weakness, admit our sinfulness, and understand the realities of our flesh. And we come to a place that we say, God, I need your Spirit in my life. I need your Spirit to be operating in my life. Transformation. It's not making the flesh. It's seeking the grace and the strength and the power of the Spirit of God. Something that is beyond us. How many times, young person, you see something laying on the floor and you say, I'm not picking that up. I didn't put it there. I didn't put it there. And if your parents ask you to pick it up, in your heart you say, I didn't put it there. Or maybe you back talk them and say, I didn't put it there. You see, our spirit is a selfish spirit. The carnal spirit is a self-centered spirit. The carnal spirit is a spirit that demands its rights. I demand they treat me right. I demand that everything's fair. I demand everybody appreciates me. I was thinking about this. Try to be a missionary with that spirit. Impossible. You know what? Maybe try serving the Lord. Maybe try serving the Lord. Boy, there's a huge difference between being a pew sitter and a server. I was thinking about that. Think about these missionaries. Think about John Patton on the island of the Hebrides, New Hebrides. And think of him going around that island. And as he, not long after he arrives, his wife dies. He's on the island, he's trying to win people to Christ. And a man is following him around the island with a hatchet in his hand, threatening to kill him. And they're cannibals. They killed lots of other missionaries. I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. I came here as a missionary and you don't appreciate me. I tell you what, I'm going to get you. I tell you what, I'm just going to hate you. I came here, I gave my life, I'm just going to hate you. Oh boy, he's going to really lead a lot of people to the Lord, isn't he? You know, it's amazing what we will allow in our lives that is so foolish and so unchristian. And yet, we disguise it in our deception. Say, well, I'm resisting evil. He didn't pick up his socks. I'm not going to pick them up for him. And on we go. But you see, what Christ is talking about something is talking about something that is the true spirit of Christ in us. Christ in us. Not something that just comes natural because someone scratched our back, we can scratch theirs. Jesus said, even the heathen love the people that love them. But the spirit that comes down to of Christianity, which says, you know what? I know in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. My flesh can't forgive. My flesh wants to get even. My flesh can't go the extra mile. My flesh certainly can't, and I can't turn the other cheek. No way. Exactly. The Christian life can only be lived by the Spirit of God, strengthening us, transforming us, changing us, indwelling us. You may be fighting the spirit of revenge. You might be fighting the spirit of bitterness. You're fighting something bigger than you. It's not just going to go away. It's just not going to disappear. The sad thing is, it's probably being shown to all in all sorts of ways that you don't even know it. But in Christ, we can be what we ought to be. I wonder today, do we need to get a grips that we have been deceiving ourselves by our unforgiveness or get even or our hardness? But the real issue is we have been selfish. The real issue is we have not given up our rights. We're hanging on to our rights. We aren't humble before the Lord. And we see it maybe today. Maybe we see it in a new light. Maybe we see that we need to be something that we aren't. But in Christ, we can be different. It won't just come out of the sky. It just won't go floating by listening to some soft rock Christian song. There'll be a spiritual battle that takes place. There'll need to be hunger. There'll be brokenness. There needs to be the understanding of the helplessness, the weakness of our flesh, but a complete confidence in Christ's strength. And so Jesus said, resist not evil. So Jesus said, they compel thee to go to mile. Go to. Maybe this week, the Lord will put you in that position. Maybe today. Maybe before you leave the building. There's a huge difference between going through the motions and the real thing. As we've just dealt with this thing today, let me ask you a question. Do you see the darkness of our spirit? Do you see how much in contrast to how we think and act is to what Christ says? You know, as I look at this passage of Scripture, it just is a little bit overwhelming. And realize we haven't dealt with it in detail. But we're not like that. And Christ is calling us to be something that we're not. And it's our spirit on the inside. And it only can come by a transformation that the Lord Jesus Christ brings into our life. The transformation of our inward spirit. Let's bow in prayer. Father, I thank you today for your word. For challenging us, for hitting us, Lord, right between the eyes, as so much of life we're just hanging on to our rights, being self-centered, making the world revolve around us, and totally unable. To return good for even perceived evil. Lord, I pray in your grace and your mercy that Lord, we as your people would recognize, we would see these things. We would see what the problem is. We would see in our own hearts, each one of us, how it takes shape of how we are, our self, our selfishness, our rights are right at the top and is 100% against the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our heads bowed and eyes closed, the Lord is speaking to your heart today. And you say, you know, God spoke in my heart. I have to be honest. I have a real hard time forgiving. Hey, you say, you know, I have a real hard time not getting even. I have a real hard time even submitting to any kind of authority without lashing back. Nonetheless, when someone does me wrong. You say, you know, God's speaking my heart today. My inability not to go bananas when something goes against me, some evil comes, some injustice, someone else has something better than me, I get treated not exactly the same as somebody else or whatever. God's speaking my heart today that there's a work that needs to be done in my life. Perhaps you're here today and you say, you know, the Lord is really speaking my heart. The Lord is speaking my heart about how instead of doing the least that I can do, I need to do the most that I can do. Instead of claiming my rights, I need to be selfless. Perhaps right in your home, young person, the fighting and the bickering between siblings is all about. Everything has to go your way, or you can't give up your rights do right despite the fact that somebody else might do wrong. Perhaps you're here today and say, you know, I see this bankruptcy. I see that I could never change in myself. I need God's power in my life. I need God's Holy Spirit to be working in my life. I need transformation. The Spirit of God is working in your life today. Working in our hearts. You say, Pastor, I know the Lord is speaking to my heart today. I know that every one of us fail, but perhaps you're here today and you say, you know, I realize the Lord is speaking to me today. And I can see the big difference between having this outward form and the reality of the transformation only Christ can bring in our lives. And I need God's power to be working in my life, to change my life. I can't do it myself. That's not me. I need Christ's power in my life. And by uplifted hand, you say, you know, God is speaking to my heart. I'm serious about this. And I see what God wants to do in my life. I've been on the wrong sphere. I've been living in my realm of rights. I haven't submitted them to the Lord. I've been selfish. I've been walking in my own strength, not in God's strength. Lord is speaking to your heart. Say, Pastor, would you pray with me? I really want God to work in my life in this area. Just lift up your hand wherever you might be. Number of hands, praise the Lord. All over, amen. Others, I can really sense God is working in my life. He wants to work in my life. I realize I can't be. I do it my strength. There must be a hungering and thirsting for God's strength and His grace to be working in my life. Anyone else, the Lord is speaking to your heart. Okay, praise the Lord. Now, Lord,